So things are hidden inside, then God just cannot move them. Please do not be a part of the problem. Get it out some way in kindness. Write me a letter, or do something. Go and see the elders, or get up and apologize, or go to a brother and apologize, or do something, but don't hide anything. Let it sit down inside of your heart if it shouldn't be there. By all means, get it taken care of. Turn to the book of Galatians, if you will, a few moments, in chapter 4. I want to speak a few moments about the spirit of the scriptures. The book that we have before us is more than letters, more than law. It is the Spirit of God. It is the Spirit of God revealed to us in print. It is the heart of God revealed to us in print. And we must catch the spiritual impact. This is a little short sermonette on law and grace. At various times, we need to emphasize various truths. There are times when, right now, I suspect there are a number that need some real good teaching on dying to self and crucifying desires of the flesh. And then there's others who need to emphasize and heal the grace of God. And these two arms of truth are both truths. And sometimes you emphasize one because to pull back over and balance, get back in the middle again. I've entitled this message, Ishmael or Isaac, which? Ishmael or Isaac, which? Galatians 4, starting with verse 19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Paul had travailed from once, brought forth children, and now they have, after having begun in the Spirit, they're trying to go back under the law. They're trying to become perfect by do's and don'ts. And so Paul said, I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. He says, now I am travailing in birth the second time. I've already travailed once, now I have to do it all over again. I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice. That means change the tenor and tone of my voice. And not because, he says, when I'm writing you, I'm having to rebuke you a little bit. And I'm a little bit stern as it comes from the Lord because I have somewhat to say unto you, and you have some things that you've got to be kind of rebuked for. But I long to be with you that I might be able to show my heart and change my tenor a little bit and speak to you soft with love. Because I know once I'm in your midst and see you there, my heart goes out, I'm going to show you a lot of love and mix that right along with it. You can't always catch it in the words, but it's in the heart. For I stand in doubt of you. That is, I stand with some perplexity as to your position in this matter. What are you doing? I want to see you and talk with you personally. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law. Some of you there in the church in Galatia are teaching, well, we got to do this and we got to do that and the judging and we got to do this and so forth. He said, you know, you that want to be under the law, do you not hear the law? If you do, now listen. It is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid and the other by a free woman. The bondmaid was Hagar, and the free woman was Sarah. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. That's Ishmael. There was nothing Ishmael could do about it. It was purely a flesh transaction. It was not led of the Spirit. He was not promised of God. It came not by faith. It was purely an act of commitment and doing to bring forth Ishmael after the flesh. But he of the free woman, Sarah, Abraham's wife, Sarah the handmaiden, was by promise. God had promised. It was impossible in the natural. It took faith. It took waiting upon God. Which things are an allegory? They're an allegory. These things are used to represent something else, stand for something else, to line up alongside of something else, to be like something else. For these are the two covenants. These are the two covenants, Sarah and Abraham. We only have two covenants, old covenants and new covenants. The first covenant God made with man and the second covenant. The one from Mount Sinai, which generous to bondage, which is Hagar, in the Greek, the Hebrew is Hagar, that's Hagar. One comes from Mount Sinai, which means bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, an answer to Jerusalem, which now is. It's physical Jerusalem. It's the law. It's the scribes. It's the letter. It's the Ten Commandments. It's do this and thou shalt live. And is in bondage with her children. Jerusalem, which now is in bondage with her children. The Pharisees are there, and they've got the law. The rabbis speak in the synagogues, and they've got the law. The people all observe and listen, and they do, and are judged by the law. And if they miss the law, then they shall die. It's all by the law. But Jerusalem, which is above, that new Jerusalem, which is the saints of God, that someday we're going to see them coming down as a city prepared as a bride, the new Jerusalem, unto the new earth, after we're married with him, the church in heaven, the places, is the new Jerusalem, Mount Zion. That's the heavenly Jerusalem. Someday she's going to be prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband, which is free, which is the mother of us all. It's free, it's not in bondage. In heaven, you will not find, when you get there, when you pass the gate, you will not be handed a great, big, heavy volume saying, "Welcome to the Promised Land. Here's the law book. Study it and read it, because there's the axeman. And if you do it, there's the banqueting hall. And if you don't, there's the gallows." Now, you won't have the law over there. You'll have freedom in the spirit. You'll decide to do out of love. And you won't want to do otherwise. The law will not be written on tables of stone for you to look at, but it'll be not even on fleshly tables of your heart, but it'll be in the spiritual tables of your heart, I suppose. It'll be right there in your spirit to do what he wants you to do. For it is written, "Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not." That is, Sarah, you're barren, you don't bear, but rejoice. "Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not." You don't travail in childbirth. "For the desolate," that's you, Sarah, you're desolate, have no children, "hath many more children," by promise, through Isaac, from Abraham, who's called a multitude of nations, "many more children than she which hath an husband." That is, Hagar, which was given a husband for a night, because she had a fruitful womb. "And now we, brethren, as Isaac was, or children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh," Ishmael, "persecuted him that was born after the spirit," Isaac, "even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free." Now, I trust that all of you know the story of Hagar and Ishmael. If you don't, you'll have to go back to Genesis and do some reading. Now, Hagar was generous to the law. Hagar, Ishmael, Mount Sinai, the law. And Sarah and Isaac and Jerusalem, which is above, the spirit, which is free. Hagar should never have been anything but a husband for me. Hagar should never have been anything but a handmaid to Sarah. That's all she should have been. She was Sarah's handmaid. She was to minister unto Sarah, unto the church, Sarah. And if she would have been stayed as a handmaid, it would have been fine. She was a good handmaid. It had its purpose. The law, if the law will stay to serve and minister to the church, that's fine. As long as the law stays as a handmaid, as a servant, then it's all right. But as soon as the law begins to do what Hagar did, and she began to strut and take her position over Sarah and say, "See, I brought forth a son. You didn't. Your husband and I brought forth a son. You and your husband didn't." And when they saw the fruits of this thing, and that's sometimes how you can tell how good the union was, is by the fruit. You can tell by the fruit. Abraham didn't know at first. Maybe this is God's promise. Maybe this is the way God wanted to do it. After all, I'm getting old and my wife is barren, and God's promised a son, and if I don't hurry up, I won't even be able to have a son. And so maybe God wants me to work it out in the natural. And so after all, it was Sarah's suggestion, because she was thinking rationally. See? And she was saying herself, "Well, the seed comes from the man, the name comes from the man, and I'm ever going to have a son. It's going to have to, it's going to have to come from you and somebody besides me, because I can't have children, and we've waited and waited for God, and God hasn't done it. So therefore, I guess you better take my handmaiden, and you do this. And so they tried to take care of the promise of God by natural ways in the flesh. And whenever you try to take care of God's promises in the flesh, you always produce Ishmaels. But the fruit of it will betray itself. And one day Sarah looked out, and there she saw Ishmael mocking Isaac, her son. And there he was mocking him. He's the leader. He was born first. He's going to get the birthright. He's the favorite one. See? And when she saw this, she was so grieved. She went to her husband, and she says, "Cast off this bondwoman and her son. She shall not be heir with my son." Now Sarah called Abraham Lord. And like some women do, she did not say, "Now Lord, if it pleases thee, I would make a request." She was emotional. She was disturbed. And she said, He shall not be heir with my son." Now Abraham was kind of caught in the middle, because they're both his sons. And God said to Abraham, "Listen to your wife." Why? Does she have anything good to say? The old Arab proverb, if your wife ever tells you to do anything, do the opposite. The wife is clever. She can get some things done that way. But, hearken unto thy wife, because the son of the bondwoman shall not be ill. Hagar and Ishmael were cast out. Now there's two mountains, Sinai and Zion. Sinai is the mountain that thundered and quaked, and the fire of God came down. You must not touch it or you die. And the law was given on the mount. Mount Zion, which is above, is lit by the sun, hath no night there, and there's praise, the sound of music, and there's worshiping God. It's free. Hallelujah. The old covenant, Mount Sinai, said, "Do and be saved." The new covenant says, "It is done for you. Accept it and walk in it." I don't know about you, but when God makes a new covenant, I just as soon go ahead and take the new covenant. Verse 27, we read a paradox that has been in every age, has mystified every people. For it is written, "Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than they which had a husband." How can that be? How can the desolate have more children than they that have a husband? This has perplexed every age of people. Here's the paradox. There's a man of the law. He keeps the law. He sees laws. He makes law. He keeps laws. He's going to be rigid right to the law. And he teaches the law, and he boasts of the fruit of the law. To him, as to hear him tell it, you keep the law, and you're the epitome of religion. You keep the law, and you got God's heart right on your side. You keep the law, and God's favor shall shine upon you, and you'll have the fruit. You keep the law, everything's the law. But this man and the law, the strange paradox about it is, they never produce the spiritual fruit. All they produce is bondage. They never produce the spiritual fruit. There is never the fruits of the Spirit, love and meekness and kindness and gentleness and forbearance and love. Those do not come from it. That heart of Christ, the love that spills out, and the peace and the joy and the river, that never comes from it. They hold it high, but it never comes. But the man of free grace, who denies the merits of the work, the paradox of that is he's always producing good works. In fact, he didn't even care, he's not even trying to, there's no merit in good works, he says. You were free. And so what does he do? He goes out and lives cleaner before the Lord than anybody else. And in fact, some people even call him a Puritan. And he goes out and produces the fruits of the good works, and there's good works everywhere. Strange paradox. To get good works, you got to be in love and be free inside. You try to live under the law, and you won't produce as good of works as you will in being loving and free, being free. Of course, there has to be love with that freedom. In verse 29, "But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now." The self-righteous man is always, he's arrogant, he's proud. Sometimes he hides the pride in humility, but he's always proud. He's self-righteous. I mean, he is keeping the law, and law is that he's doing right, And since he's doing it, since self is doing it, it becomes self-rightness. And therefore, he feels good about it. In fact, he feels that he has really done something, and so he becomes somewhat arrogant, and he becomes kind of the standard. And everybody's judged by what he is doing, because he does it. But the man of duties, who sets up duties and rigidity even for himself, and I'm speaking to the ladies here as much as to the men, because some of the ladies have found them getting themselves in the same trap. And so you've set up yourself a lot of duties that you do, and you can't do this, and you've got to do this, and so forth, by the law. A man of duties hates the freedom of the spirit. It's against his theology. But at the same time that he hates the freedom of the spirit, the theology of it, he envies those that have the freedom of the spirit. He just wishes he had the freedom of the spirit. He just envies. Oh, he wishes he had it. But he'll fight against it every time. He fights the theology, but wishes he had the fruits of it. And he holds up the fruits of his own theology, but it doesn't produce, and he's miserable with it. Something I'll tell him that something is wrong someplace along the line. I want to close with a scriptural reading. Chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Verse 4. Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. It didn't come of God. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And so we found it so. Just a little leaven, but it has its impact. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whoever he be, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, I want verse 12 next. I would they that even were even cut off which trouble you. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh now, but by the love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, be walking constantly in the Spirit, and ye shall in no wise fulfill the strong cravings of the lower nature. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Chapter 4 and verse 7. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if son, then an heir of God through Christ. You see, a servant is under the law. Do this, do that, do that. Now you're a son. You have a freedom in the family that you didn't have when you were a servant. Remember that, don't you? Why do you want to go back and be a servant? Once he's taken you from a servant and made you a son, adopted you? Are you sure you don't want to stay a son with the privileges and the sonship? Much better. Although you're still under your father, of course. Chapter 3 and verse 3. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Verse 9. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Ketorah, doom. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you might bless this message and the reading of thy word to this congregation. May we meditate in thy words day and night until they become a part of us. May we feed upon them until every cell of our mind and our heart and our body is saturated with the truth of thy word. Lord, help us to understand that you want us to walk in holiness and in righteousness, but you want us to walk and find that path in love and in obedience to thee by the Spirit working in our hearts and by our yielding to thee and not by the works of the law. And help us never, Lord, to look at ourselves and to judge others by our own standards and by our own achievements, and to feel satisfied because we have done anything. But may we always recognize that having done everything that we have done, that we are still unprofitable servants. And so, Lord, we pray that we might be led of the Spirit and in freedom of God. We might worship Thee, be free from the bondage and the condemnation of the devil that would hold us and cause us to try to follow rules in the flesh that no man from the time of Adam on has ever been in to follow, excepting Jesus Christ, but that through Him we are free. We are legally pure and clean now, as we shall ever be. And Lord, Your blood has made us one, has made us free, has cleansed us, has made us white, and we stand in the beloved as children of God. And Lord, You will teach us, and by love we will follow You and mature until we become workers together with God and sit in heavenly places eternally with Thee. We ask Your blessing now, Lord, upon our life, upon those that come to pray this evening, those that are in the Bible college tomorrow, and those that go their way to jobs, and those that work in the home, and Lord, those that witness. And in our hearts, may we constantly pray that You might purge out of our life everything that offends, because, Lord, we know that You're using this message, these messages today, to purge out of our life everything that is offensive to the Spirit of God, so that we might walk in the Spirit. Lord, Thou hast called us to walk in the Spirit and not after the law. And so we pray that the law might be in our own spirit, and Lord, and not in the letters, and not in our mind only, but in the Spirit of within us. Lord, I pray right now for this people. Keep us close together. Keep us loving one another. Keep us, Lord, ever loving Thee and looking for Thee and learning of Thee. Do a deep work right now in every heart. Do a deep work in every heart. Search our hearts and our souls, Lord. May we come to a place of such sweetness and such tenderness before one another and before You. With such an open heart and such a kindness, Lord, may all defensiveness go. May all the walls tumble down so our hearts can just flow over and melt one with another. May there be a sharing and a peace. May there be a love and a kindness. May there be a humility and a treating one another straight across, Lord. Lord, may our arms just enfold one another in love and our hearts wrap around each other. May we uphold and encourage one another as one family with one Father. Lord, do a good spiritual work in this group. Lord, when You finish burning out the dross and correcting and chastising and helping, I pray that each one, Lord, might be subservient before Thee, might, Lord, take its place with a spirit of confidence in Thee, with a love and a rejoicing and a peace in God, knowing that, Lord, You have only purged out that which is bad. You've melted us together as pure gold, and we'll walk in the Spirit and fulfill the law of God and receive of You that we might give it to others. Lord, how can we give to others unless You give to us? How can we edify others unless we have been edified? How can the Spirit move through us unless the Spirit is moving in us? Lord, I pray that we might learn that You're teaching us and training us, that the Spirit and the love of Jesus might be shed abroad in hearts. Lord, we know that we'll never win them out there by rules, but we're going to win them by the Spirit through us, loving them and drawing them. And the Spirit will convict them. And so, Lord, we pray that You'll help us to use Your word carefully. We'll not fleece the sheep, Lord, but we'll tenderly take care of them and take care of one another. Have Your way in our hearts, Lord. Have Your way. We thank You, Lord, for Your tenderness. Thank You for Your love and Your peace. Lord, help none to be hurt and offended. Lord, help none to be offended. Oh, Lord Jesus, help each one to know that it's the Spirit of the Lord that is speaking to hearts right now. It's the Spirit of the Lord that says, sons and daughters, I must correct you. I must teach you. You must learn of me, and I need voices. I need mouths to speak from. And so I'm speaking from this clay vessel tonight to you because I love you. Help them to know and to feel the heart of God that I feel in my heart that's coming through me right now, that they might know that these do not come from a pastor who is upset, but from God who wants His children not to fight one another, but to love one another, for You love each one of them. Oh, Lord, minister to each heart right now. May the peace of God just reach out and enfold each one. May You pull them into Your bosom right now, Lord, and just love them. May each one just right now give up in the Spirit and yield to You. May each one say, Lord, right now, Lord. Lord, I have been stubborn. Lord, I've been stubborn. Lord, I have resisted. Lord, I have tried to hold and think and rationale and all of this. But I know deep down in my heart that I haven't been producing the love as it should. I know I've been unkind. I know that I haven't treated my wife or my husband or my children or my parents or my loved ones, brothers and sisters, right. I know that I haven't had the love of Jesus flowing. I know deep down in my heart that I have been critical. I know in my heart that I have been set and not been moldable. Lord, I pray that You might teach us right now. Lord, just break us. Break us, Lord. break us and make us nothing. Lord, burn down the superstructure that we have built. Burn it to ashes, that you might bring forth roses with beautiful scent, beauty from ashes, to please the Master. May the aroma of praise come up into thy nostrils, O God, that you might smell a sweet savor of praise ascending from off of the sacrifice altar, the altar of incense unto thee. Praise the Lord, a sacrifice of praise. Thank you, Lord. May each heart be so tender. Right now, work in every heart. May each one during this time be just yielding, surrendering. May each one say, yes, Lord, I want to be lovable. I want to be peaceable. May every lady in this church say, Lord, I want to be yielded. I want to recognize my husband as the head and make him feel like a man. Treat him like a man, like the headship that he should be, and not make him all frustrated trying to take authority because I won't give it to him. Help me, forgive me, Lord, and help me to yield to him. Help me to say, yes, yes, I recognize you as my head, and I will do everything I can to enhance you, to work for you, and to build you up, and to help you. I'll give you my life. I'm here to serve you. I promise to love, honor, and obey, and be a helpmate unto you. And forgive me for not being the wife that I should. Some of you wives have made it hard on your husbands because you wouldn't be what you should be, and so you forced him to go way overboard to try to get the position that God gave him because you wouldn't allow him to have it. It's your fault. You need to repent to your husband and to God. Some of you have not had the reverence that you should have had for those in authority in the church. Some have not had the reverence you should have for your parents. And that does not mean that you obey them outside of the Lord. But even if they're outside of the Lord, you should love them and respect them, even if you have to go a different way in the Lord. Some of you haven't shown respect for elders, for those in authority out in the government even. Some of you have been rebellious. You wouldn't show authority in the home, in the dorms, and under those that you've been put in authority with. Listen, folks. God wants to just melt us. He wants our hearts to be just so full of love and be tenderness. We'll be so kind and so soft and so tender. Don't hold up that big shell. The world has been teaching us to put on a big shield, an alligator hide, so we don't get hurt and be tough. But listen, God wants to melt us. Keep us soft. Keep us soft and kind. Not railing for railing, but kindness for railing. Turning the other cheek, be willing to be misunderstood. Oh, let's be so soft and so kind. Holy Spirit, melt us right now. Holy Spirit, do a work in our hearts. Holy Spirit, teach us to take everything out of our life right now that is not love, peace. May we just feel the presence of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. May each one say, Lord, from this moment on, I'm going to be so careful. I'm going to walk so quietly. I'm never going to say a negative thing about anybody. I'm not even going to say a negative thing about myself. I'm not going to say a negative thing about anything that the Lord's doing through the church of God. I'm not going to try to criticize. I'm not going to try to judge. It's not my position. It's not my business. God hasn't put me over. I'm just going to praise the Lord, take the freedom, knowing that Jesus has forgiven my sins. I don't, even though I haven't lived right, I'm not even going to let that bring me into despair. I'm going to just get all right with God. I'm going to just walk and trust the grace of God. God's grace is big enough for everyone. He's big enough. He knows how to lead us and guide us. He knows how to perfect. And he'll surely perform that good work. Just trust the Lord tonight. This has been the altar call, the altar of your heart. Right here in the seat, you've already been to the altar. I trust God has done a good work for your heart tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen.
His love has no limit. might all just stand and join hands right across the aisle. Let's sing that song, Who Shall Separate Us from the Love of God, taken from Romans. A unified agreement between one another and the Lord. Truly nothing can separate us from the love of God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.